Welcome to the Destructive Doctrine Podcast, where we navigate the divine realm. Welcome. And now, here are your hosts, the dynamic navigator of divine realm energy. And now, here are your hosts, the dynamic twin duo, Mikey and Will.
All right, everyone, we are back. Welcome back to the Disruptive Podcast. Disruptive Doctrine Podcast. We are recording this at 11 o'clock. It's been a long day.
Yes, yeah, it's been a long day.
So we didn't drop an episode last week because I recorded one with our buddy Osmond, but the audio didn't come out good, so we got to
re-record. No, the audio was fine. His mic sucked.
No,
I'm just kidding. I love you, Osmond. Osmond, if you're watching this, when we go to redo it, at least I get to be on that one. God knows why everything happened. He caused your mic to stink because he knew he wanted me in the podcast and I wasn't feeling good last week. So
there you go.
God works in
there. Speaking of feeling good, Mikey, give us a little recap of what you've been going through, your leprosy scare.
Bro, so long story short, you know, I'm in the ending chapters of my 12-month Job story in my life where I lost everything, but God is slowly, little by little, starting to, just like the story, right, bring everything back and double. That's the part I'm waiting on, but he's bringing everything back. Yeah. And someone had told me recently, he was like, Miguel, you know, what you've gone through and what you and your family have been able to persevere through these last 12 months have been nothing but God. There's no other explanation, right? He said, your life story, your testimony is literally the story of Job, and you're in the ending chapters. I was like, bet. Now, for those of you guys who don't know the story of Job fully, one of the last things he goes through during his little phase is he gets a skin disease that attacks. The Bible says that he was itching his skin and it was sores and all that, right?
Busted.
Yeah. So if you look at my hand here, it looks like I was.
That's like the bad.
It looks like I was playing with sandcastles and red ant hills. Like it looks like I was using red ant dirt to make sandcastles, right? With all the looking like bites. Long story short, I had like 2 or 3 days with like a 102 fever. Like it was almost 3 days straight.
102?
Yeah, that's how high it got. The highest it got was technically 102.3. It was bad. So it got up to 102 and it's just one of those fevers where you feel like there's just a truck laying on your body. I couldn't move. My skin was burning. Like I would walk. I had to walk on my tippy toes because every step I took felt like I was just walking on needles. And it just got to the point where I was like, bro, I'm done. I'm over this. So I go
and
to.
And I got that last year and I remember you made fun of me.
I did. I did make fun of you.
Sonia actually said, she's like, yo, she was like, I feel bad for him, but good on him because now he's going to get paid back for.
Yeah, I did. I lit you up pretty good. So I woke up. Finally, the fever broke. But I woke up and I was like, my skin is so itchy. It's on fire. And I woke up to bumps, just red sores all over my hands, my feet, inside my mouth, on my head, on my, like everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was in my inside. Like it was, I couldn't drink. It was bad. So I go to the doctors and they're like, oh, you have something that's called hands, foot, mouth disease. I said, yep. What?
And I called it. I told you that like, you didn't even you have did. To go to the doctor.
You did.
I told you.
You did. And, long story short, I got it from my kids. And it was pretty bad. And I was like, this really is a Job story because I'm ending this whole season of my life with a skin disease. But thank the Lord, as of today, I'm officially out of like the contagious. I
was about to say,
like, not as of today. Like, I've been. The doctor said that once the fever broke, at that point, it's no longer contagious. Yeah. When I say out of the contagious phase, is as in the skin sores are finally clearing up. That's what I mean.
Yeah, they're in a blister though.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have like permanent manchas as on some parts.
100%.
But yeah, I got it bad. But today, anyways, I digress. Thanks for all the prayers, guys.
So I know me and Mikey were talking about this. Today's episode is gonna be a little bit chill. Number one, like I said, it's late. We wanted to drop an episode. We've had some really deep conversations on here. But we both kind of agreed that we kind of just want to make today's kind of like a late night devotional. Just kind of
keep it simple and just and understand, like, me and my brother put a lot of work into preparing for these episodes. We do a lot of scripture reading. We have discussions literally throughout the week. Mm-hmm. We're sending each other videos like, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, what do you think about this? Right. I'm not going to lie. Today's we didn't do a lot of preparation because, like I said, I'm just now recovering. So I've been kind of out of commission. But I saw this video today and my brother sent me some videos, which we'll be discussing those topics. It's a great series that we want to bring with you guys.
When we do the surprise episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do that.
That's when we'll do it. Because for sure. I have a few days off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Facts. But, you know, I saw this video today, and the guy was talking. He was saying how people have the perception where if you go down the wrong path, all right, or like a detour, that God's just gonna punish you for going down the wrong path or getting off the path, right? And first things first, understand that if you're one of those people like, oh, I never deviate, I'm straight and narrow, God's path, you're lying. Everyone detours at some point in their lives. God's just really good at letting things happen to kind of manipulate us to get back into where we're supposed to go. And manipulate, not meaning like he's forcing it, as if you can deviate.
He's the grand architect, so he knows what's going to happen.
Correct. Understand that you deviating off God's path or doing detours, like I said, doesn't mean that you don't have God in your life. Israelites walked in the desert in circles for 40 years, and I'm sure not everyone in that desert didn't love God, right? It's just sometimes we have to pay the consequences of the decisions we make. That doesn't mean or de-justify the love that we have for God in our hearts.
Correct.
But he was saying that, and he was saying how God's form of punishment of us getting off the path sometimes is just letting us continue the path that we got off. You know, like the path that we got on, leaving God's path.
It's letting us feel what life would be like if we didn't have him watching over us.
There we go. That perfect. Yes. What he just said.
Okay. So you think you know best and you don't want to listen to me. So then it's kind of like,
God says, say less.
The one movie with like the Stooge or the Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Past. And it's like, let me show you past, the present. Let me show you the future. If you would have done this, kind of okay, you know what? If you wanna call the shots, and I'm just gonna let you.
But you know what? You know what's crazy? God does. The only thing that God does not do is, we have to thank God for this. God is not one of those people like, you know what? You didn't listen to me, but I'm gonna still, because of my grace and mercy, I'm gonna still get you back on the path, and I'm still gonna bless you. But imagine if every time we made a mistake, God's like, I'm going to show you everything you would have had if you would have listened to me in the first place. Just to make you feel bad.
Well, here's the thing about God's promises. Just because you detour doesn't mean that the promise is canceled.
All facts.
And that's another thing that I hear a lot of preachers saying. oh, you know, if you don't do it this way and you don't do it at this time, and, you know, yeah, there are maybe some aspects of a blessing that we might
lose. Yeah, some details, you know, some of the caveats.
Because it was time sensitive. It was for that specific season and his, but like, God doesn't say psych because you messed up, because he knows we're going to mess up. Like, yeah, there's, it's inevitable. So people who teach as if like God is some kind of like prankster or like,
yeah, God, like, God has an infinite amount of solutions and variables and outcomes based on,
because he's outside of space and
time. He's outside of space and time. He understands there's like a million different versions of, depending on what decisions this guy makes or this person makes, and I'm going to have an answer for all of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And his mercies are new every morning.
Exactly. And so we were just talking about that, just the concept of, like, so many people live in fear every time they make a mistake. Like, I just undid everything God was doing in my life. Oh. Or every blessing that God had for me, I just lost it. Now I got to convince him to give me new ones. Or... God, can you go back to what you were doing? And God's like, I never stopped doing.
You just stopped seeing it.
You just stopped seeing it, but I never stopped doing.
Spirit.
No, we can't go back because we're still there. I'm still here. I never stopped doing. See, in the middle of us.
The Waymaker song, where it's like, even if I don't see it, I know you're working. You know.
Well, at one the end thing of the- is us. You know, even if I, you know, when we're actively in the right path and we're just not seeing it, but we still got to believe it. Another thing is we got off the path. I think that's a different context, but it's just one of those things, man, like where religion comes into play. Like people, it's like this fear factor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie. I used to think that a lot. Like, bro, I will make a mistake.
A year ago. Or a year or two ago.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I still kind of have moments where I kind of think like, oh, man. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to stop doing this. But I've had moments where I'm just like, you know, God. I know
you're, all the times, te regañé.
Yeah, and God, you got to understand, you know, God called me and my brother into ministry at a very, very early age. Mm-hmm. And I've had moments where I told God, I'm like, God, I'm going on 32 this year. And I'm like, God, I still haven't seen everything you promised. And it's all my fault. And there is some truth. You know, there could have been some delay simply because I wanted to do my own thing, you know, and it is what it is. Facts are facts. But like, there's a lot of people living in that daily fear, thinking I'm losing everything every time I make a mistake. Every mistake I make, I'm losing my ministry.
That's a dart. That's a thought that the enemy uses to basically try to decreditize God's promises.
Decredit? Why are you making up words, bro? That is not a decreditize.
Bro, what's the word?
Decreditize. That's what you went with. Decreditize. Oh my gosh.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Discredit.
Discredit.
That was it. It was that simple. Discredit. This man
I
said
was about to
decreditize.
Say or what? Invalidate?
Is bro, that the word? Unvalidate? Is
no,
that a word?
Invalidate.
No, you said unvalidate.
I did at first. But then I switched it.
Yeah, I just typed in unvalidate and it automatically corrected it to invalidate. That's two. You're two over two. Jesus Christ. You're discredited.
The point is that that's what the enemy tries to do. When God sets a promise, he's going to try to convince you that God's promise is based on your ability to live a perfect life.
You imagine that if every promise in the Bible that God makes in his word has like a parentheses *, only if you're perfect.
Bro, I just preached about this. So, you know, you have this, we do a lot of preachings on the verse of the sermon where, you know, Jesus is saying, you guys have heard in the law of Moses, murdering, but if you speak to someone, you kill them. If you act in fornication, but if you only think of a woman in lust, you've already done the act.
Right, right, right.
And then the disciples are like, well, who can live this way? Like, the way you're describing it, Jesus, is like, how can anyone live an entire life without saying the mean thing about someone or looking at us? And he's like, that's the point. No one can. Because the Pharisees had this mindset where because we're exteriorly completing the law, that we're perfect. And Jesus is like, nah, it goes way beyond that. It's not, you guys only know how to complete the law externally. Wow, I said exteriorly. See how bad my...
Yo, you're on a roll.
But it's, you guys are so focused on completing the external version of the law, and you could care less about the internal. When they ask Jesus, well, who can pull this off? He's like, that's the point, dude. No one can pull it off except for me. And what I'm trying to teach the church is that you guys don't have to carry that weight of trying to complete the law, because I already did it for you. And if you accept me, you're automatically considered having completed the law, because the spirit of the one who did complete the law is living inside of you. So my question is, why do we keep on putting that weight back on the church's shoulders when Jesus came to take it off?
Bro, check this out. This verse, hold on. I want to lay that. First Corinthians.
No. I ain't laying that slide. You're making fun of me for my words, and you just said, yo, look at this sort of.
No, I'm speed reading. No. That's what intelligent people do. They speed read. They gather as much information in as little time as possible.
It sounded like you're constipated.
Nah, bro. It says 1 Corinthians 3:8-9. Said, the one who plants and the one who waters each have their own purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. And I don't know why I'm trying to wrap my head. I don't know why I stopped at this verse. Help me out here, but there's something here.
And yeah, no, repeat it. I already know what it is, but I want you to repeat it. See if you can.
The one who plants and the one who waters each have their own purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building.
Okay, number one, everybody wants to do the planting and the tending and the watering. Why? Because they want to give the glory to themselves.
Not only that, but I think it's also. Not necessarily just that they want to bring to glorify themselves, but I think people also need to understand, like, the purpose that God has for you in your life is unique to you. And
well, here's the thing. Everybody has the same purpose.
Well, yes. You know what I mean. You know what I mean? The calling in your life. We all have the same calling. We all have the same purpose. Yes. That is technically the right answer.
Your role, how in God's
correct, major how it plan is manifested, is unique to,
correct, exactly. There you go.
And it's just like if everyone just focus on your purpose. Stop looking at everyone else. Stop comparing your purpose with others. Stop comparing your path to. This is
the verse that's going to connect that to make sense.
And I'll tell you this real quick to connect it with the whole path thing. There are a lot of people, because people automatically assume that if you deviate off God's path, it's because you're looking at stuff from the world, you're distracted. How many times if you're on you're driving on, I know I have, and I will admit it, it's happened to me too many times.
We've already established on this podcast that you are a horrible driver.
Listen, speed. Right now, so check this out. I have the State Farm Safe Driver thing. At this point, I'm about to lose the discount because I disconnected it. I was like, my driving score is so bad. I'm like, why even have it on? And they keeps on telling me, update, turn it on. I was like, you don't want me to turn it on. You don't trust me. You don't want, you're going to drop me.
You don't want to pick up what I'm, you don't want to
pick up what I'm, many times you're driving and you're not paying attention and you miss your exit, not because you don't know where you're going. You just were looking at another driver, you're looking at something else, you're distracted. there's a lot of people who end up going down the wrong path because they were so focused on looking at someone else's path, or you're looking, you know, let's say you're like, this is the way I'm picturing it. Let's say I'm on my path. My path sucks. It's hard. All right. Then I look to my left and that person's path has like benches every other quarter mile. They got rest stops. They got vending machines. And then I look back at my path and I'm like, yo, where, I don't even know where I'm at. Wait, I started looking around because I deviated. I just lost myself. And I just feel like there's a lot of people who do that. They look at their lives, they look at their purpose, the way things are going, and then they look at someone else's, and I don't know. We just comparison, this whole comparison mindset sucks.
Well, that's because, like, again, if you don't know what you were created for, then you'll never understand your calling, you'll never understand your purpose. So the first thing, we got to start at root number one. Like,
square root? Bro, what are you talking about? This man's talking Pythagorean theorems. Go ahead.
Listen. We were made for one purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So we all have one purpose, to reflect His glory.
What verse was that?
2 Corinthians 3, 17 okay. and 18. Our purpose is to reflect His glory and to look like Him. Like I told you before the show, our job is to be an advertising site. We are God's ad agency. We're His Facebook social media manager. We are where everything that we do is to make God look good. And how do I further prove this through scripture? Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And remember that the Lord will give you inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So in everything that you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And this is where we need to stop with this obsession with titles and ministries, because if it's not a ministry, if I don't have a following, if I don't have, you know, a million, stop rubbing your mic. If I don't have,
I was itching. Geez, I was itching my elbow. I'm still itching.
Yeah, now I got to edit your crustiness off.
Ew, your crustacean looking soul.
But listen, and this is true. So it's like, we think that because I didn't have time to go to seminary, I don't have a purpose. Because I didn't have time to memorize the Bible or finish the Bible in a 1-year reading plan, then I lost all my power. And no, he says in everything you do, some people, the reality of it is that there's some people that they don't have a choice but to work, and they can't make it to church. The cards that they were dealt is that their husbands left, they got 3 kids to feed, they got no one to help them. And unfortunately, when it comes to church community, the occasional day off for, you know, the big events and federal holidays. But for the most part, they don't have a choice but to work. And what we've taught is that those people are not getting into heaven.
All because they're putting their job in front of God.
Exactly. And that's not biblical. Because he said in everything you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. Because he knows that sometimes that's just the cards you're dealt.
Yeah.
So then when you're working, reflect his glory in your work ethic. Don't be a lazy bum. Don't be a bad employee. Do good. Like, perfect your craft. Be good at your job. Where people are like, yo, there's something different about this person. It's like, yeah, because I'm doing it as if I'm doing it for the Lord. And everything that we do, we can give God glory. And we've taught people that we can only give God glory in church. Number one, we don't give God glory. We reflect his glory, because we can't give something that's not ours.
Dang.
So we sing these songs.
Hold on.
The glory. No, you don't, because you don't have glory to give. I am singing to the
you
God
can,
of
you can,
glory.
Or you can acknowledge his glory.
I can praise the glorious God.
Yeah.
But I don't have glory to give you.
Yeah, we can give acknowledgement of his glory. We acknowledge your glory.
The verse said it right there. The verse said it. We are reflecting his glory.
That's, bro. Oh my gosh.
I can't give God glory if I don't have anything. It's not mine to give.
That's a bar.
Now, when Jesus was praying to God, he said, the same glory that was on me, give it to them. But just because he's using us to reveal his glory doesn't mean it's our glory. Mm. And that's where the blasphemy, that's where the false prophecy, that's where the false doctrine and false teachers comes in, because they want to say his glory. And let me tell you something. I'm actually going to be giving a sermon on works, because Paul teaches that it's not about works anymore. It's about faith. But then James says faith without works is dead. So what is it? Is it faith or is it works? Well, what James is emphasizing is not the works that the Pharisees are used to the external. They're spiritual works.
Right.
Works that the Bible says were prepared before the earth. Okay. So we're talking about spiritual
works. I'm still caught up on this whole give glory. That's so here's the thing. Crazy.
Actually, let me find the verse here. Give me a second to pull it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, let that sink in, bro. Tell me how you feel right now.
Bro, you got me. Wow. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy. Bro, Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. Check this out.
Go for it.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Mm-hmm. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with. It's crazy how almost every day, because of the way this world is and because we want to be reckless, right? There's not a day, I'm not going to say there's not a day, but there are days where I feel the exact opposite. Like, how can you tell me for me not to feel holy or blameless? Like, how can you tell me to feel holy and blameless when all we do is sin against God?
Well, that's the thing. He didn't call us to feel homeless. I mean, yeah. He didn't call us to feel blameless.
That's where I was.
He called us to be blameless because the spirit of the blameless is in you. Again, this is where we're ruining everything, because we're making everything about feelings.
Because what does holy mean? What does the word holy mean?
Godlike.
Or to set apart.
Yes.
To set apart from this earth. And to set ourselves apart. So it's like, even in the midst of our daily setbacks in our daily sins, we were still called to be set apart.
I'm telling you, we were called. Number one, we're his masterpiece. No amount of sin will ever destroy that.
Facts.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Again, the gospel is a gospel of works.
Yeah.
But it's not man works. It's not putting on a shirt and a tie works. It's not going to church works. It's not even praying, and it's not even preaching, because I just preach it on Sunday. Oh, but I pray. Muslims pray. Jehovah's Witnesses pray. Mormons pray. What are you trying to prove? Oh, but I study the word. So do other religions. So what are you trying to prove? What makes you different? You have to do it in the spirit. Because he's saying that to do good things. So if I'm doing good things, that means works that he planned. These are planned works. So how do I know if I'm doing a spiritual work? If it's something that the only way it can be one of these things, where it's one of these good works, is that it's something that you can't do without the Holy Spirit. Right now, I can have an intellectual person come up and read the Bible. They're just a genius. They're like 5 PhDs, and they're just a literate person. And they can read a verse and tell you what it means.
Yeah. And they don't even need it. It can be any person who just has basic comprehension
skills. That's what I'm saying.
can read any verse in the Bible and be like,
and
oh,
that's happening so much right now in churches that we just have literate people and we're singing praise God, hallelujah. Okay, so tell me what it means. Show me how you apply it.
That's what I was going to say.
Show me how your understanding of this has translated it into words.
It's the application of God's word in our lives.
It's your ability to take your application and turn it into the works that Ephesians 2:10 is talking about, the works right. that he planned for us long ago. So that's what I'm saying. This is something I'm about to drop on Sunday, but if you can't do it without, if you can do something without the help of the Holy Spirit, then it's not a spiritual work. So right now,
Repeat that.
If it's something that you're able to pull off without the Holy Spirit, then you can't categorize it as one of these spiritual works because it has to be done in the spirit. There's, and again, right, the act of preaching per se, you know, people automatically, oh yeah, he's a preacher. But it's, you got to be specific to what kind of preaching, because it's false doctrine, false prophets, false teachers. So you can't just say that, oh, because he's a preacher, he's spiritual. No, because there's going to be false preachers. So I need to know, are you preaching in the spirit?
Yeah.
Are you able to apply it?
Are you being led by the spirit?
Anybody can put on a suit, a shirt, and a tie and go up. And because God's word is perfect, as if they just read the word, God's not going to, the Bible says that his words will not come back empty. So you can have someone living in sin and they'll preach a Bible verse and talk about the word of God. And they talk about it. And God, because it's God's word, it'll hit whoever needs to hit.
Yeah.
That's how powerful God's word is. It can't come back empty. But can you, are you showing the fruit? Are you able to apply it? Oh, you preach, okay, but can you love your enemy? Are you practicing patience, kindness,
yeah.
the fruit of the spirit? Are you doing everything as if you're doing it for Christ? Are you claiming glory for yourself, or are you being a mirror? Because when God looks in the mirror, he doesn't want to see you. He wants to see himself.
It's funny how even in prayer, some people will like find a way to not make it about, like, I was watching this lady. She's a comedian. She is hilarious. Angela Johnson, maybe is her name. I don't remember the top of my head. And, you know, she would always like make fun of Christian rap and stuff like that. Now she married a Christian rapper and she talks a lot about Jesus now. And she was like, it's crazy how Christians be like, don't gossip. That's not good. Nothing good comes from here. Blah, 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 blah. But then they'd be disguising gossip as prayer requests. And they'll be like, guys, we're going to pray for Trisha. I don't know if you guys know, but she's pregnant again. So we're just going to lift her in prayer for God to get her out of the cycle and get her through.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's where at that moment, your prayer stopped being a spiritual act.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like people be in church when they go to do the prayer request, and they're like, shh, this is where we find out everything is going on. Hold on. No, I'm going to pray for my son. Get that deck out of y'all. When did he stop going to church? Huh. I wonder why. You know? Or like, oh, vamos a orar por mi hermana que está en la hospital. Y you're viste, that's what happens when you sin against God. You want it. Chanien, ya mismo, vete. So people be listening to the prayer as part of the service because, yo, escribelo.
That's where you get the juice.
That's where you get the bochinches. Oh my God. That is so bad.
No, it's true. And again, and this is where, let's start closing off with this. But this is the importance of this. So do you see, like, we kind of just went off on a couple of tangents, but do you see the couple of examples that we talked about? Look how easy it is to spiritualize something that's not spiritual.
Yeah, facts.
I'm going to repeat that one more time. A lot of churches have become a place for disguised spiritual acts. We're going to worship, but we're not worshiping in the spirit.
That's where you see churches like, oh, bringing snakes into the church. And
you saw that one?
I'm like, bro.
This guy said, I'm going to let this poisonous snake bite me so I can show you the healing power of God. And that boy dropped dead. I'm like,
Are those idiot. Preachers like, my pet peeve is when preachers take water bottles and squeeze it like this. Like, if you don't stop spraying me with this water bottle.
That's wild.
Oh my God.
And listen, at the end of the day, and this is for the people who, like I said, they you feel like, dang, my mistake is so bad that God's will can't be done. No, God's will is God's will, and his glory, whether it's voluntarily or involuntary, he's going to get it because the glory is his glory. Yep. No one else can get it but him. And if you give God's glory to something or someone else, it's called idolatry. Okay? Number one. Number two, for those people, I'm just kind of recapping a couple scenarios for people that I haven't been able to make it to church. Life has me in a season right now where I can't go to church and people are bashing me because I can't make it to the temple. I mean, I can't not even not that's I'm going to use the right word. It's not even a temple. I can't make it to a building where people congregate. Okay. Do not feel bad because Colossians 3:23 says, do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord for that specific reason. Because in case I can't make it to a building where the church is congregating, I can do it in my work.
I can do it in school. Understand if you can make it. Yes. Go.
I was about to say that. You know, if you can go, that's not an excuse not to go. Because when you congregate, you're edified.
It's necessary. It is 100%. You cannot spend your whole life not going to church.
It's mandated.
But like my brother said, there are times, you know, where unfortunately your job requires
and this is where the relationship with the Holy Spirit comes
in.
That's what it's all about, because if you're starting to not go and he sees that, it's like, yo, you're kind of being petty, he's gonna tell you. But if he's not there,
you know. Yeah,
so
that's a good recap. Day,
everything is for God's glory. Yeah, this was a good talk. I liked this. This was kind of unscripted. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week, we have a guest. His name is Joel Smalligan. I met him on Facebook. We've been following each other for a little bit. But he's a really good guy. Knows his stuff. So he's going to be a guest of ours. Do you want to just let them know what the surprise is?
Sure.
You want to just kind of...
Yeah, okay. You can let him know.
So the week of April 19th through the 28th. So that week of from the 21st, I'm going to be in Florida with Mikey. So you guys are going to see for the first time us recording some episodes like in the same room, side by side. So you're
in this room that.
Yeah, the same room where Mikey's at right now. You're going to see the both of us. So this is going to be the first time that in the same space, you guys be. We'll be hearing from us and seeing us in the same place. So it's going to be really cool. We might try to knock out Osmond's redo that week since we're going to get together anyways. But
yeah, we're probably going to record quite a few episodes.
Just to get ahead
and get as many where we're both in it as possible.
This is work.
Yeah,
doing a podcast is not easy, but we know that it is one to give God the glory. And we know that people are enjoying it. We're not famous and viral, but I mean, we enjoy it. We like the interactions that we have with the people who do listen. And this is a good thing, platform for us to be able to share what we do know, what we don't know. As you can see, sometimes we have epiphanies mid-episode. We're like, whoa. And that's the beauty of this. So anyways, that's all for today. I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
Tomorrow's Friday. We made it. Mikey, I hope you feel better. I'm going to pray for you since you have sores in your mouth.
No. The sores in my mouth are gone.
Okay, I'm still going to pray because it's gross.
This guy.
Father God, we come before you. We thank you for your love and your mercy that is new every day. We thank you because nothing that we can do can separate us from your love. Father God, we thank you because once you speak a promise into our life, the devil cannot take it. He cannot destroy that promise. It is your word and is set in stone. But we do pray, Father God, for those who have taken that detour and are a little bit lost, Father God, that you can just send that little spark, you know, that little street sign, that neon flashing sign that says, hey, you know, the right way is this way. Just guide them back to the path, Father God, and let them understand that it's not detrimental. It's not that they're going to hell now because they made a mistake. It's We fight against the flesh every day. The Bible says our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against an invisible world. And the enemy is real. And he tries to throw darts to knock us off. But the Spirit of God lives in us, and because we have your Spirit, we can live with that peace that we are covered under your grace, Father God. And I pray that anybody who hears us understands that we are under his grace and that we're not perfect, but we have the perfect one living within us, Father God. And we pray that you continue to glorify yourself through this platform, Father God. And we reflect your glory, and we serve a glorious God because the glory belongs to you. And we pray that you consider us, and we have your favor as instruments that reflect your glory in a perfect way, the way you want from us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cool beans.
I hope you feel better, dude. Only one more week, actually. A week from tomorrow, because I'll be...
So when do you actually get here to my house?
I leave Friday after work, so I'll be here. I'll be arriving
Friday night.
I'll be arriving at your crib around Saturday midnight-ish.
All right. Bet.
So...
All right.
This week, guys, we love y'all. We thank you guys for your support, and we'll see you next time on the Disruptive Doctrine podcast. Peace.